are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Well, welcome to Serious Growth. I'm hoping it's where the truth be told. There's so much bullshit, so much misinformation out there. It blows my mind. I think that, you know, with all the, you would think that with all the social media platforms that are out there, and it seems like it's much easier to get information. It is easier to get information, but it's also easier to get misinformation. So welcome to this segment. We're going to see if we can set the story straight. I think about, actually this morning, I just saw something on social media with, it was about a girl posted her body and it showed her posing and then a bad angle. It's the same person, but just with a different angle, and her body looked, I mean, I'm not going to say like totally different, but it did look way different. And which goes to show you, it's like, okay, which photo do you believe? That's kind of my point that I'm making. Which one is the real, you know, the real she, if you will? But there's so much of this garbage, this information that's out there that is, you know, you hope, you would think that it would, that people aren't really deceiving you or lying to you. But I'll give you an example of something that just came to mind. This goes back to, his name was a bodybuilder. He's a good bodybuilder too. It's not taken away from him as a bodybuilder, Casey Vieter. And he was at that particular time working with Nautilus on some level. I'm not really sure, but they used him not the guinea pig, but the person who was on this program. And this is as it relates to training, and it's across the board, but training. And they were talking about the Nautilus way of training was like doing one set to absolute failure. So you would start, if you were doing a bicep curl, and it was like a count of four coming up. I think it was, I'm gonna be off a little bit on my counting. Count of four coming up, and then a count of something coming back down. It was like doing one set to failure. And that was the best way to train back then. And I don't even know how many times that they were requiring for you to train the body part, because generally we think about training the body part at least twice a week. And again, we'll talk about that too. But they used Casey Vieter, and what they did, and this is how you deceive people. They took Casey Vieter and they had him drop a bunch of weight over a period of time. This is what I'm told. And from more than one source, he dropped a bunch of weight, bunch of muscle along the way. Because when you drop that kind of weight, you don't just drop body fat, you drop muscle weight, right? So what they did is that he dropped a bunch of muscle weight before he did this test with Nautilus. And then he went on this Nautilus program because they were pushing Nautilus in that style of training. Well, I don't know what the length of time was, but Casey Vieter in this claim that they made using Nautilus, using one set to failure, he gained something like 63 pounds of muscle. Can you imagine that? And it was like over like a short period of time. Well, if you're somebody who's an average reader, somebody who's kind of new in the industry, when you see that, I mean, you can see how that could very much influence you. I mean, as a bodybuilder, who in the hell wouldn't want to put on 63 pounds of muscle in that length of time? It was like, really? But it was, they deceived you because of the fact that he did that, he dropped all that weight ahead of time. And then he went on the program. Well, your body, when you drop, I can tell you this from competing, even when you're doing dieting the right way, your body will lose, for every 3 pounds that it loses, it'll lose 1 pound of lean weight, muscle weight. That's in the best of circumstances. And I would tell you that's, and also using drugs, because your body, especially as you get closer to 0% body fat, which you're not going to get to, but as you're getting closer to 0%, the body starts shedding even more muscle. Okay. So a lot of that muscle that you shed, and I can attest to this, when you start putting, you know, that's like getting ready for a show. So you go on to an off-season training, that muscle that you've dropped through your dieting process will come back immediately. It comes right back. So just knowing that, Okay, that's science. That's physiology. Knowing that, then you know that that 63 pounds that he put on was not because of doing one set to absolute failure. You know that. If you're in the industry and if you do this stuff long enough, that's why firsthand experience is such an important thing. So it almost seems like, and I hate to say it, but it's so many things that, you know, and I think it's across the board. It's not just in training, but it's almost like when you see something that where people are telling you it should be done this way, it almost seems like it's the exact opposite. So we go through a period in bodybuilding. And again, I know that things change. I know things are trendy. I know that some of this is to sell product. I get it. Okay. It's just that I guess I'm looking at it now from not only an athlete that's in the sport, I'm looking at it from somebody who's reading information, you know, to get good information. But it almost seems like you should do the opposite. For example, like in this case, what I'm talking about with Casey Vieter and Donalds, we know now through, you know, based on the way your physiology works, that going to absolute failure, one set, is not the best, the most efficient way to put on muscle weight. We're talking about being efficient. We know that. And then, of course, let's not even mention the people that were going on that program. And I did it for a little while. It exposes you to a tremendous amount of injury because of the ultimate stress. I mean, when you're doing a negative, you know, you're doing a positive, but then you're doing a negative as a part of that exercise. There's so much stress on ligaments and tendons that people were getting hurt like crazy. And you get tendonitis. I mean, you don't last. It, you know, that was not the most efficient way to put on muscle weight. That's my point. And then it goes to where people, when they were training, they started saying, well, you should train a muscle once every 4 days. And it's like, okay, again, keep in mind, there's always something coming down the pipes. It's like the next best thing since sliced bread. And we are so hungry in the sport to learn, you know, what kind of secret do you know or do you have so I can put on that muscle weight. So I get it. They're preying on us to a degree, you know, because you're, and that's what you do in any sort of any industry. And that's how you can get people to move and control them is by when they get to the point, like, I want to put on muscle as fast as possible. And so you had that, we went through that period where the, it was like trained once every 4 days. And the whole point of that was to get full recovery. You want to be fully recovered before you go into the next workout. Now, I can almost understand that waiting 4 days to train the same muscle group again, if you were overtraining your body to begin with. If you're training your body past an hour in the gym with weight training, your chances of overtraining are increasing, especially when you go past the hour. And this is where I've talked about before, where, you know, the mark of a good program is that it stands the test of time. It's always worth repeating because it's so true. You know, when I was over in Eastern Europe, and I've talked about the Bulgarian, my Bulgarian experience. We wrote our first training course. It's called Bulgarian Burst. And, you know, one of the things they did is they followed science. And this was what kind of my point is in some of this, is that people aren't really following science. Because if you know, in this case, what I mean is your physiology, how it works, you know that if you want to put on more muscle, you want to actually train it more often. The key is not to overtrain it. And that's the reason why in our courses, especially like the second training course, well, the first in Bulgarian Burst, we actually had people training 3 times a day. And, you know, we did that for the very reason that the Bulgarians knew that the more often that you stimulate or aggravate, they even use that word, you aggravate the muscle, the more times that you aggravate it, its response is that it has to adapt in one of two ways. If you do too much, you're going to get hurt. If you do more, if you stimulate the muscle in the right way, then it's going to respond to whatever training methodology that you're using. If you're, what I mean by that if you're training for strength, is a different training methodology compared to training for muscle growth. Okay, that's what I mean by that. Which leads me to, because some people will say, well, the Bulgarians were, in case some of your listeners don't know, the Bulgarians were known for Olympic lifting. They came into a, they started dominating that sport within 9 years when Russia was the king of the mountain. That's significant because Bulgaria was so small. We've talked about this in the past. They were so small. So how was it in less than 9 years or within 9 years, they overtook the, you know, being the number one Olympic lifters in the world? And it was because they thought outside the box. They did application first before theory. And if you think about that, application is you doing it and getting a response from that. So like if you're an athlete in the gym, the best scenario for you is for you to go and do it yourself. Not theoretically speaking, because that's what a lot of people do. Theoretically, this should happen when you train this way. But that's different kind of feedback than it is you actually doing it in the gym. And that's what the Bulgarians do. Why is that important? It's because you learn about science and what is really true. In other words, science being your physiology. That's when they learn that, for example, doing 50 to 65 one rep maxes. Now, keep in mind, you have to be very specific to your objective. Let's take a quick pause to tell you about something you are definitely going to want.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian power burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Because that'll make sense for those who are going, well, they're Olympic lifters. How does that apply to bodybuilding? It's because you have to state the goal. So they had the information. And what they did is they would train five times a day. They would do 50 to 61 rep maxes. Because you see, as an Olympic lifter, the state of goal is how much weight can you lift doing these lifts, the clean, the, you know, and so that's how they train. They train for their event. And they learn that doing 50 to 65 one rep maxes every single day, that was the key to their success. And when I was there, I was asking them, so how does that apply to me as somebody who's coming over here as a bodybuilder? Because bodybuilding wasn't popular then in that sport. The reason being is because they were in a socialist country and they didn't have the kind of freedoms that we do back in those days. They were just coming out of communism, actually, into socialism. But they still didn't have the freedoms. So if you wanted to travel, believe it or not, this is how fucking lucky we are living in our country. If you wanted to travel, Olympic lifters, getting into that sport was one of the best ways for you to be able to travel out of their country. It's unbelievable. Think about that. Some of those people got into that sport because of that reason. It gave them freedom. Okay, kind of going off there a little bit. But so they learned this stuff by going into the gym, using the gym as a laboratory, and stating the goal and saying, what do I want to do? And when I told them I wanted to put on as much muscle mass as possible, they laid out an exact plan for that to happen. And I have to tell you, if I'm being skeptical, and I am always, I was thinking, well, how can somebody who's in Olympic lifting, you know, I learned that they were absolutely 100% right when I came back and applied it. Because they were way ahead of anybody in the industry, 8 years ahead, because they weren't afraid to try stuff. And a lot of people are. Or it takes energy to try stuff because there's processes that you have to go through a certain amount of time to see if something works. And most people don't want to do that. So they did that. And they were able to say, okay, this is what you have to do to put on as much muscle mass as possible. That's what we did in Serious Growth when we developed Bulgarian Burst Training. We came back with that influence from exactly what they said. And we basically applied that. Volume training is where it's at to put on as much muscle as humanly possible. Not strength training, not Olympic training. You'll get as a secondary benefit when you're training for strength or an Olympic lifter, the secondary benefit is to put on muscle, but it's not the primary benefit you get. So you always have to keep in mind what the stated goal, and you have to understand that your physiology is very specific to that stated goal. And they learned that to put on muscle was to do volume. They talked about volume being around 6 reps, not usually any lower than that, and then to do, you know, a certain amount of sets. But they also talked about, and this is where what we did with our training courses is, as we were writing new training courses, we started applying what the Bulgarians were saying is that, see, what they did is they aggravated the muscle, that muscle for Olympic lifting, 5 to 6 times a day in their training, working out 3 times a day or 5 times a day, doing 50 to 65 one rep maxes. You see what I'm saying? They were stimulating that muscle ongoing more than anybody else was doing in the industry. And that's one of the reasons why they became the number one Olympic lifting team in the world. So we applied that in our training courses. So what we did is, as we went along past Bulgarian Burst and we got into Serious Growth, because they were all evolutions, and then we started applying, and the people that have purchased our courses, they'll remember that we had we call them specialization routines. And we also talked about hyperacceleration and hyperadaptation. And all that means is that we would do it takes 21 days for your body to start adapting to a training regimen. So we based that on the physiology when we created these training courses. So hyperacceleration, think about that. Hyperacceleration is pushing the body in a way that you haven't been pushing it in your normal training regimen. So we accelerated, we pushed the body. We aggravated the muscle more often. We trained it more often. We trained it more than twice a week, more than 3 times a week. We're accelerating, pushing it without overtraining it. You see, so you got to make sure that when you're accelerating the body, that you're cutting your length of time in the gym. If you train 30 to 45 minutes, even 25 to 45 minutes, it's almost impossible for you to overtrain the body. That allows you to push your body to accelerate that. Okay, because if you go too soon or too much too soon, you overtrain it, you get hurt. So we did that for 3 weeks, aggravate it, stimulate it more often, and then we would cut that training volume back to normal. When you push the body like that, when you cut, and this is where a lot of people don't understand this, when you cut that, when you stop training with all that volume, that where you've accelerated the physiology, you're still going to get, then we had what was called hyperadaptation. Now, from what we did accelerating the physiology, see, we're following science. This is kind of what the point is of this. Then we cut it back to our normal training. Your body had so much momentum because, you see, your body has to adapt to its environment, because if it can't, it either overtrains or it adapts to that stimulus. If you do it right, it's adapting. So you build up this momentum. And when you cut it like that, your body doesn't recognize that, not right off the bat. So you would think, and this is what I mean, what you think sometimes is actually the opposite. You would think that by cutting back on your training like that, that there's no way that your body could continue to make progress, could continue in this case to put on muscle. and yet it does. And we learn that even when we're putting people on diets. See, you can apply the same application. You can accelerate somebody in their diet and do hyperadaptation the same way. How you accelerate somebody in their diet would be to cut their calories for 3 weeks. And you push your body, you know, train a little more. You're creating more energy output, cut the calories. And then when you do the, and then when you add the calories back in after about 3 weeks, again, you would think, oh my God, I'm gonna start gaining weight. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way for about another 3 weeks. So it's the same, see, the same thing applies not only in training, but in this case, it applies to nutrition. But again, I just want to get back to the whole point of doing this as we're wrapping up is that sometimes things are the opposite of what you think they should be. You wouldn't think that you should train more often a day. You wouldn't think that, pushing a body, training a muscle group every single day for 3 weeks would be of benefit. And I would say that on one part of that, it wouldn't if you didn't know how to implement the right kind of training methodology. Okay, so I just wanted to, set the story straight for some of you out there. If there's any questions that you might have, I'd like for you to reach out to me and then let us start setting the story straight together. Until next time, get serious, growth.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief and the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.